Good afternoon, everybody. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for Tuesday, December 6th. I'm Alan Shartok. Today, we'll take a look at the potential pay raise for New York lawmakers. A special legislative session is being considered this month to handle a number of issues. Governor Andrew Cuomo has listed items he'd like to see passed at the session, including term limits for legislators. Cuomo also wants to enact reforms, including converting to a full-time legislature and strictly limiting outside income following recent corruption scandals that have resulted in prison sentences for two former legislative leaders, not to say anything about some charges against his closest allies. What do you think about state lawmakers getting a pay raise? Do you think the governor is dangling the raise in front of him to get his initiatives passed? Do you want to see them get paid or what? Be with us. Well, hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Shartok. Well, New York lawmakers are considering whether to have a special session this month to vote on, among other things, get this, a pay raise. It would be their first pay increase in about two decades. Their base pay is $79.5, but they get more from Lulus and things like that. But most receive, as I say, compensation for leadership roles. Governor Andrew Cuomo has listed items he'd like to see passed if there's a session, including term limits for legislators. Yeah, that'll be the day. But the Assembly Majority Leader says that item is likely off the table because most Democratic members are against it. I am very surprised. Cuomo also wants to enact reforms, including converting to a full-time legislature and strictly limiting outside income. That's the one I like the most. Following recent corruption scandals that have resulted in prison sentences for two former legislative leaders and some charges against two of the people who are closest to him. What do you think about state lawmakers getting a pay raise? Do you think the governor is dangling the raise in front of them to get his initiative passed? Here to help answer those questions and others are Barbara Bartoletti and Ken Girardin. Barbara is legislative director of the New York State League of Women Voters. Ken is the communications and marketing manager for the Empire Center for Public Policy. You can give us a call and jot this down at 1-800-348-2555. Let me give you that again. 1-800-348-2551. So you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org if that's what you'd like to do. So anyway, Barbara and Ken, welcome. Ken, how do you feel about legislators getting a pay raise?
Well, first off, thank you for having me, and it's an honor to be here in the studio.
Honor to have you.
I'd say lost in this conversation about the legislative pay raise is the question of what lawmakers are paid right now. We've heard this figure, $79,500, which is a good amount of money for a part-time job, no matter where you live in the state. And separately and apart from that, we've been hearing about how the legislature hasn't had a pay raise since 1999. Now, the thing that sticks out there for me is, first, that lawmakers, on average, don't make $79,500.
That's correct.
About three-fourths of them have their pay supplemented with a stipend. That means all but every state senator is eligible for a stipend, and the majority of the members of the assembly are eligible for stipends. We looked at the average at the Empire Center using our See-Through New York database a few years ago, and we found that the average pay for state lawmakers was about $90,000 when all this was included. And that was just their base pay. That wasn't talking about the health care they get while they're in office, their participation in the very generous state retirement system, the fact that they get compensated for mileage to and from the office, which, you know, here in the private sector, something we don't enjoy. And then on top of that, they get retiree health care, which is, I'd argue, even more lucrative compared to some of the other perks that they get. So they've got a pretty sweet deal going on right now. And I don't think that the discussion has really been framed properly. All we're hearing about is
$79,500,
and it's been 18 years.
Yeah,
and it's you could kind of make some tortured arguments around the $79,500, depending on where people live in the state. But it's the 18 years that really tugs at the heartstrings.
And to me, and we've got a Barbara in a minute here. And to me, the issue has always been that outside income. you know, somebody says, okay, you know, I don't want to give that up. I mean, you know, somebody says, I hired this guy's law firm, and my husband was an SOB, and this guy, he's the senator, and, you know, and that's the impression. It may not be true, but is the impression that you're getting value added by going to a legislator. And the Congress of the United States severely limits how much
15%.
Money. 15% on the outside. So it, to me, that's the one you got to go to, although I have a long laundry list of other things I'd like to see them do also. Barbara Bartoletti, does the League of Women Voters have a position on this?
Well, around it. We've never really addressed, do we think you should have a pay raise of X, Y, or Z? But we have actually more of a problem than the pay raise. We have a problem with the process under which it is done. And as you, Alan, know, I think you were probably still in elementary school, but back in 1998, when they actually did this, they did it in the dead of night, and they did it in a trade for what we now have is charter schools.
Sure.
That was the way Mr. Pataki did it. That was George Pataki's thing. So it was a trade then. We at the League would much prefer, and we're involved, just finishing actually, a rather comprehensive study on outside income, length of terms, et cetera, the process. And that should be out probably at the end of this month. But we've always been concerned with how it's done. And right now, we don't think in a special session, maybe the 20th of December, I don't know, they're deciding that yesterday and today, and I haven't heard, maybe you have, what their decision was. But if they do it on December 20th, when the public is actually involved in Christmas parties and gift giving and family, then you don't have what we consider a really base of whether the public really thinks this is a good idea.
Okay. You know, I live in a different state. I live in Massachusetts, next door there. And Massachusetts has something called initiative and referendum. If these guys, if they try to take advantage of the voters or the citizens of Massachusetts, they are going to get a strict no because somebody's going to put it on the ballot and they're going to... They're never going to allow that in New York State. Never, ever. Are they going to allow initiative and referendum, even though they have it in New York City and it works very well? So it's just one other thing that I think they probably should do. They like it the way they've got it.
That's right.
The ICC, whatever, the Incumbent Protection Plan, IPP, they're going to keep doing what they do. So listen, thanks for both of you for being here. Let's go to Harriet in Woodstock, New York. All right, Harriet, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi, Alan. Hi. So here's what I have to say. I don't usually call up about politics. I call up pets and vets, but this is different. We elect our representatives. And they are our employees. And we pay them their salary, whatever it is. They work for us. Even though we are ruled by the laws they make, they still work for us. And I've never held a job where I determined my own salary. And so I don't think they should either. And it's a long time to not get a cost of living raise or whatever, and I think it should be put to the people at the next election, and the people should be given a choice of how much
my point
they
about
think.
My point about initiative and referendum, exactly. Okay, thank you for that. Appreciate it very much. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. Ken?
You know, you're getting into a tough situation with what Harriet proposed in terms of taking it out of the legislature's hands, because our state constitution actually requires that the rate of pay be fixed by law. Those are the words that's written in there, deep in the constitution. But the tough thing about that is that it also means that this legislative pay commission likely wouldn't pass constitutional muster if it were challenged.
And that's a commission that that Cuomo appointed all the members of. They've been described, not probably nicely, as toadies and cronies.
Well, at least three of them were.
Yeah. Who
appointees of the governor, not toadies and cronies.
Yes, but appointees
gonna,
of
and
the governor.
I'm going to keep Barbara from getting banned from the Capitol.
And so when they said... no pay raise unless you do some other things, or implied that, you know, everybody knew that was the governor yanking the puppet string, right?
Right.
Yeah. No, you don't think so, Ken?
I, I'm reluctant to assign causations or motives.
Well, not me.
Just to
me neither.
Hang around with me for a while.
Right.
Barbara, you were going to say?
You know, this. We have a long history in this state, at least for the time that this governor has been in, of having whatever it is, whether it's Jacob or any other entity, primarily controlled by the governor's appointees. That's the way it's set up. We've never come up with a way of having truly nonpartisan.
And of course, they don't want to raise their own pay. And they don't want to raise their own pay.
But the assembly members were willing to go along with the wage commission until it was disbanded because the governor said, no, unless you do X, Y, and Z.
And was that, in fact, you know, sort of bribery? Your point that you make is it's already been done.
Right.
Pataki traded charter schools for
That's
a pay
right.
raise.
That's
we
right.
know that. And now, Ken, I invited you onto this program because you were described to me as being a tough guy, so I don't want you pulling back on this. Okay, so we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back, and then we'll talk to Elizabeth and whoever else is coming up. And Lucas, yeah.
Support for WAMC comes from Curtis Lumber, announcing their new kitchen showrooms featuring kitchen design trends and cabinets from Wellborn and Marillette and quartz countertops from Cambria. CurtisLumber.com. George Heigl, Cowan's representative, specializing in evaluating, marketing, buying, and selling of jewelry, fine art, historic firearms, American Indian art, and more. 518-396-7974. Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Custom-designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly passive and solar design elements, noble-home.net. College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts. For over 30 years, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair and 24-hour towing. Full-service gas includes checking of fluids, tire pressure, and window washing. CollegeStreetMotors.com. And Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts. Offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We are back with Barbara Bartoletti of the New York State League of Women Voters and Ken Girardin, a communications manager of the Empire Center for Public Policy. A tough guy if I ever saw one. We have a communication by email at voxpop at voxpop@wamc.org. I'm against the pay raise for the legislators. I worked 30 years with a master's degree, and I do not earn $79,500. Two, at my last job, we were asked to give back on pay and health care 3 years in a row. Three, I finally lost my job due to budget cuts and had to start all over again with a different employer at $42,000 a year. I think these are tough economic times. A lot of people in legislators actually getting more is a sort of slap in the face. Well, you know, I've been around a long time, and I can tell you this much. Nobody knows squat about New York State government. I mean, most people don't have
right.
the slightest idea what's going on up here.
You're right.
But the one thing they know about are pay raises.
Right. Pay raises and scandal.
Yeah, and so these guys do not want to raise their own salary. They want somebody else to do the dirty work. Now, what we're hearing out of Albany now is that Speaker Hasty, who I call Boss Hasty because he was the boss of the Bronx before he was the Speaker. They're both blanching here because they got to do business with him. Firming up the ranks, and they're going to come back, I hear, potentially, and do it themselves and take the heat.
They do want it.
Yeah, and we're talking about a huge pay raise if they do it. Probably about double of what they're getting now.
I'm not sure it'll be that much, but it'll be probably close to what the city council makes
right.
in New York City.
Yeah, they don't like that. They don't like the city council. They all want to leave here and go and be a city councilman.
Well, but they realize that the city council is term limited. So
yeah.
there is a revolving door between New York City legislators and New York City council members.
And you know, Barbara Bartoletti, why they are term limited? They're term limited because in New York City, as opposed to New York State, there is initiative and referendum.
That's right.
And that's how they got it.
That's
okay.
Right.
That's how they got it twice.
That's how they got well, and it depends.
Well, and the governor and the mayor.
There was that small flipping the screen. Okay, let's go to Elizabeth in Albany. All right, Elizabeth, you're on. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Well, yes, I'm very happy to speak with you, Alan, and to the panel. I'm an 80-year-old. I taught for 10 years in this state, in Delmar, New York, and then I became a financial advisor in order to make more money. I worked as an advisor for another 28, 29 years, and I just retired this past year. So I'm on my first year of retirement at age 80. I think that these legislators, when they go full-time and they work full-time and do the people's business full-time, then maybe they deserve a raise. But I think I never made $80,000 as a teacher, and I worked round the clock full-time every year that I did work as a teacher. And that's my opinion.
No, your opinion is, Elizabeth,
this legislature and this governor, and yesterday you made a comment that we don't call in about our governor. Well, I'll tell you about that governor. And I liked Mario Cuomo, but his son is not Mario Cuomo.
Do you think?
And I think that he needs to go.
Okay. Ken, you had something to say?
Well, I'm glad Elizabeth brought up the point about full-time. Because there's been a lot of talk about, well, if we give the lawmakers a little more money and then keep them here all year or make it a full-time position, then we're going to improve the quality. I think we've already seen a few test cases play out that show that that doesn't necessarily give the desired result. One of them is the New York City Council, and then I'd say the other more prominent one is the state of California, which is already paying lawmakers more than we're paying ours, and they're full-time. And they're just sending off their most recent state senator to federal prison, who, after he got convicted on bribery charges a few months ago. So it clearly hasn't put an end to the corruption stuff. As to the quality of what we'd be getting out of state government, I mean, these guys already have responsibilities to legislate, to enact the budget, to be deliberative about legislation, and to exercise oversight. And in those last two regards, those things that we'd expect them to do more of if they were here year-round instead of just for 6 months, they're not doing it already. They're not already holding substantive hearings. I mean, the three of us could probably go around the room for the next 30 minutes talking about just how many bills we've seen rushed through before there's been any really kind of, you know, deliberative effort.
With a so-called message of necessity.
Yes, and without any kind of conference committees that are the ones that they have around the budget are really bogus.
Which is why I call the Assembly Speaker boss hasty.
But even without that.
Well, even before, with speakers.
Well, that was Paul Silver.
The question then is, what can we do to get a better government in this state? We obviously don't have good government.
Well, first and foremost, we need to give them fewer opportunities to get into trouble. So that requires
limit. That's exactly right.
Term limits might be one way to do it. That's something that should at least be talked about, again, in a substantive manner where we might even have hearings and testimony and witnesses experts.
Mm-hmm.
And,
me too. Not for term limits, but for the process.
No, but I'm for term limits
because
I know that a lot of political scientists and others don't like it, and they say, well, elections are the best term limits and stuff, but I don't see that. I think
that doesn't work either.
No, it doesn't.
We have an electorate that is not educated. That is the biggest problem.
Well, I certainly agree with that. Okay, so, and I got a dirty letter after having said that this morning, Elizabeth, saying I was such a snob. But that's true, I think. Barbara, you have any fast thing on this? Because I want to get to the
League also believes, as most political scientists believe in that the ballot box is term limits. And, and we've looked at this for a number of times now, and our members still affirm the fact that term limits should be the ballot box.
Well, too bad that they're wrong.
They're wrong. I agree. I think the League, I used to support the League, but you've come up with some doozies in recent years, and I just disagree with the League.
Well, okay, Elizabeth, thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much. All right, let's go now. We got a lot of people on the phone. We will go, and we'll keep our remarks down if we can, to Lucas in Albany. All right, Lucas, you're on.
Hi, Dr. Chertok, distinguished guest. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to wholeheartedly voice my support for making the legislature full-time and also for the pay raise, because I would suggest that with a part-time legislature, I'm going to say, but without regard to what the actual dollar amount of their pay is, I think a part-time legislature guarantees like an amateur government instead of a more professionalized government that, you know, that is there full time, that does make enough money such that they don't maybe feel the need to.
Lucas, why is it that when offered that pay raise you're for, they are opposed to putting limits on their outside income if they do go full time? Why is that?
I'm afraid I don't have a good answer for that.
Yeah, I don't think you do. You know, and the Congress of the United States, as you know, does have that limit on them because everybody knows what the game is. Cash on the barrelhead. Ken, you have something you want to say real fast?
I'd say that having a part-time legislature may increase the quality because your members are keeping one foot in the real world. And yeah. I think it'll better inform their decisions.
Well, I don't agree with either of you. But I think here's the issue that you both have to know, that when they are working full-time, who are they working for? And I think that's a very good point that our last caller made. Are they working for them or are they working for the voters who put cash on the barrelhead, do the necessary, not illegal, but moral bribery that goes on in the legislature all the time? No, I think if they if you make them full-time, they're going to be full-time taking care of themselves, not us. Well, okay. The ums are enough. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Bye. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Did I miss a break yet? No, not yet. Okay. Let's go to On the Highway, Dexter. Dexter, be careful. Be careful on the highway. Go ahead. Okay,
yes,
Dexter,
hi.
You're up.
I guess I have a couple of comments that speak to what some of the others have said. First of all, I think the issues of appropriate pay and whether it's part-time or full-time are very much the same issue. I do support my legislator having a full-time job. I think it is a full-time job. And the definition in my mind of what a full-time job is that you don't have other jobs. This is it, outside income. Is allowed to some extent, but I think we also have to be careful about how we define that outside income.
Yep.
What you shouldn't have if you've got a full-time job is other outside earned income, but I don't want to exclude a large number of potentially very good legislators who have maybe had a prior business career, have business interests in which they are passive, or obviously unearned income in the form of dividends and interest that would somehow disqualify them from this work.
Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. Dexter, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you got?
Well, actually, the League, as part of this recent study that we've been involved in, have debated back and forth about the fact that the legislature has seemed to have changed over the time I've been here, the almost 40 years I've been here. It used to be filled with lawyers and other people sprinkled in, but there were a lot of lawyers. There are much fewer lawyers now than there ever have been before. But what we are concerned, my members seem to be concerned about, is right now we have a pharmacist who's a legislator from this area. We have a dairy farmer who's a legislator. We've had vets who have been legislator. We've had funeral directors, etc. And a lot of my members would like to keep that real-world experience that legislators bring into the legislature. Now, there's a problem when you have of counsel of large major law firms, as we saw with...
Or so-called consultants
who bring business into their law firm because they are legislators.
We call them rainmakers.
Rainmakers, exactly. So we are concerned about that. But on the other issue, too, Alan, many of the legislators today are full-time legislators. They do not have any outside earned income. They may have investments, but certainly no one's
contemplating. Okay, but Barbara, let me interrupt you.
Okay.
Then why, if that is the case... Then why does the total body seem to reject out of hand the idea about limiting income? If so many of them...
That's a very good question.
Sure.
That is a very good question because I think most of them don't. They are full-time legislators.
Yeah, because Boss Hastie and the others who run the place are basically saying, this is not good for us. So you people...
Well, the Senate so far has not come out in favor of... A lot of these same things, term limits or outside income bans,
right.
Oh, so it's both houses.
I would agree with that. Right. I'll take that from the distinguished woman on the right here. Ken, you have something to say about this?
I mean, I'd question whether it's a full-time job now. A lot of the stuff that lawmakers mention when they say that they work full-time, 40 or 50 or 60 hours a week as a senator or an assembly member, involves walking in parades or showing up to meetings or doing things in their district
offices.
That's
part of the job, Ken.
It's not part of the job, though.
It is part of the job.
I'm with Ken on this.
It's really part of the job.
Yeah, it's a bunch of baloney.
Please separate for me the parts of the job outside of Albany that these folks do that doesn't serve their own self-interest and their own re-election. Because that goes back to the problem we have in terms of the constant re-election.
Barbara thinks that's harsh.
I think she knows
she's going to have to walk into a legislative
office. Put a red mark next to my name.
No, I really do. I think they're... A big part of a legislator's job is not just showing up in Albany and sitting in chamber and voting the way usually the majority wants to vote. It's doing constituent services, and it's being at the local business. It's holding my members. We really firmly believe that our members shouldn't come to Albany to lobby. That's kind of a smaller group of people like myself and some of our other issue specialists who are here in Albany. We really think our members should be seeing their legislators in the district offices. Legislators spend 2 days a week in their district offices.
Wait a second. How do you know that?
Because our members see them in their district offices.
No, some of your members may have seen them in those district offices.
No,
I've been around this legislature long enough to know that the people that I work for, and I did work for legislators, didn't come in and sit behind their desk from 8 in the morning until 5 in the evening. They were seldom there.
Oh, Alan, I will disagree with you there. I know too many legislators who really spend their off session. They're here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Well, you're right. Some of them do.
But they have their district offices. And take a legislator like Betty Little.
Sure.
Do you know how much of her constituency and how difficult it is for her to get around and actually see her different school districts, her different local constituencies, working with mayors? I mean, she has the whole Adirondack Park, literally, which is her constituency. Or you get now Congresswoman Claudia Tenney and current state Assemblyman Peter Lopez. Yeah. They have 9 counties.
Yeah, but then there are people on the west side of Manhattan who have
one small apartment area.
Yeah, right. That's there. Okay, Ken, real quick.
But geography aside, this is a role that they've carved out for themselves. This is a role that, one, they benefit from, and two, they define on their own. They're setting the parameters for this conversation about pay with a responsibility that they want for themselves. It's not what the people have prescribed in the Constitution, and it doesn't even necessarily connect with the realities in Albany.
Okay.
So, Ken, how would you solve it?
Well, I want to get some more people on the phone. Okay, let's go to John in Saratoga. John, you're on. Hey, John.
I'd like to get, I'd like to get term limits, and if the quality of their work is any indication of what they should get, they should get a pay cut. I think that the way they act, the obscene amount of money and perks that they have, has created this environment that a bull like the neo-Nazi president-elect could get elected.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you, but I don't think my guests agree with you.
I guess I would ask all these folks what they think the bedrock problem is. Is it that we have a large incumbency return rate, which we do in this state, a very large incumbency return rate? People vote these legislators in every 2 years. Does it go back to something rather arcane that I think a lot of people might not be well versed in, and that is our redistricting in this state? Now, we will function under a new redistricting constitutional amendment come 2022, but that... There's an awful lot of legislators who are in very safe seats in this state, upstate or downstate, that we have. So that makes a very heavy incumbency return rate. And therefore, a lot of these people don't have to worry about ever getting elected.
Well, that's because we allow them.
But that's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. We allow the majority.
That's the problem.
That's
and
right.
We have ignorant people that are not interested. We're trying to make a living and pay for the insurance that we're paying for these guys.
Okay, you're breaking up. We got to let you go. Thank you very much. 1-800-348-2551. Your chances of getting in now are very, very good. Ken, I saw you making a note. Did you say something? Do you want to say something?
No. I don't know if you could tie the pay level with the quality of legislators that you're getting. It's as simple as that. It's a much more complicated question than that. And in terms of what's wrong in Albany, I don't think you can put it on any one or any five policies. I think you could have us here for yeah. 3 hours just fleshing through all of
them. Well, that's a very good point. That's a very good point, because now we've talked about pay raises. We've talked about just now about allowing. We pride ourselves in our democracy, and we allow them to design districts
that's
where
right.
they can't lose.
That's right.
It's disgusting. And
so it cuts down on competitive elections.
And they let it go on.
Yes.
Barbara, you said something. We have a couple of seconds, but we got to go to break. You said something about the 22 reform, constitutional reform. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, in following the last census, the congressional lines were all drawn by a judge.
Thank
because
God.
They were so gerrymandered.
Yeah.
So the good government groups decided that we needed to change by constitutional amendment, the only way you can do it, the criteria under which we would actually design or these districts would be designed. We were able, there was a split among the good government groups, but there were some of us who felt it wasn't perfect. Nothing in Albany ever is, but we did feel it was a very good step toward making these districts more competitive. If you get more competitive elections, you hopefully will get better legislators.
Yeah, but when you talked about Betty Little and you talked about Congresswoman Tenney,
they have very large districts.
And you know why they have large districts? That take 3.5 hours to get from one end to the other?
Well, that's true.
It's because
that's
the Democrats in their place want to make sure that.
Well, the Democrats in the Assembly, the Republicans in the Senate. It's the majorities in each House draw the lines.
But it's disgusting. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Water Wheel Village, Galway, New York. Now shipping their extra sharp New York cheddar, imported specialties, and holiday treats for business and personal giving. WaterWheelVillage.com. The Albany Pine Bush Preserve, presenting Pine Bush Perspectives, a juried photo exhibit featuring photographs of the natural environment taken by visitors. AlbanyPineBush.org. Tom McRae, Edward Jones Financial Advisor on University Drive, Amherst, Massachusetts. Member SIPC, Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, edwardjones.com/Tom McRae. Amherst Copy and Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign making and design services, from booklets to stationery and labels to lawn signs, in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, amherstcopy.com. And Union College Concert Series, presenting the Boston Camerata, making its 27th appearance. The Camerata's annual holiday concert features early Christmas music, Sunday, December 18th, 3 p.m., unioncollegeconcerts.org.
Thank you, Zachary. We're back, and we're coming around the bend. Let's go to, Ruby's been waiting for a long time. Ruby, you're on.
Yes, hi, everybody. I'd like to make the argument that they're not making $79,000 if you take a look at what their health care costs. I know my wife and I are paying upwards of $14,000 net money.
By the way, Ruby, I have to say, I don't know when you started listening, but our very distinguished guest, Ken, made that whole point earlier today that nobody's making $79,500. They're making, by the time you're done, my bet is they're making $100,000 plus all they can get on the outside, which is a lot of money. And they don't want to give up that outside income, even if the Congress of the United States has long ago given it up. They don't want that because they know how to make money.
Well, you know, I wouldn't.
I agree. I would also like to ask, I had heard that they're now the third highest paid lawmakers in the country. Is that
third,
right?
Second.
I find that very interesting that they haven't gotten a raise in 18 years and they're still the third or second. How much were they making 18 years ago? How much above the normal were they getting then in order for them to be able to go 18 years without a raise and still be in second place?
Okay, Ken has something to say. Go,
that's,
Ken.
That's an excellent point. If you look at all four of the last pay raises, so all the raises since the 1980s, or since 1982, In all four of those raises, adjusting the amount of the raise for inflation, the legislature ended up better off than they were before. They, in all cases, kicked their salary up even higher than it was before when inflation is considered.
Well, why do you find that so remarkable?
Because I put the data into a spreadsheet and I didn't know what the chart was going to look like.
Well, you think they're going to take a pay decrease?
No, but there's something to be said for them every 5 years saying, well, let's get back up to the level it was before. That hasn't been the case. Just in terms of their total compensation, just to throw one more thing out there, Sheldon Silver and Dean Skelos are looking at $90,000 or $95,000 a year pensions between the two of them.
Until the court of the constitutional amendment probably passes this January 2nd passage.
The constitutional amendment's not going to change that.
That would be ex post facto, wouldn't it?
Well, that's what this constitutional amendment is about, retroactive.
You've got to have me back because I'll explain that to you.
Go ahead.
It's the ex post facto claim that people have made about this constitutional
amendment. I wish.
Wait, one second. Ruby, wait a second now. We're letting the guest talk for a second here. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
The constitutional amendment, as written, will only affect crimes committed after November 2017.
Yeah.
Yes.
I got it.
Okay.
Okay, that's a good answer. Okay, Ruby, you wanted to say something else.
I wanted to say I would like to see if it is inevitable that they're going to get a massive increase, that their health care, like all the rest of us, should be started to be chipped away at a little bit. They should not get complete coverage of health care, just so that they get a little taste of the real world.
Well, by the way, that's a point I've made with many people on the congressional corner, too. I would say, well, come on now. Most Americans say we'll settle for whatever our congressman is getting in terms of health care. Okay, Ruby, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. It's 1-800-348-2551. We've got lots of phone lines open, 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Roger in Kingston. All right, Roger, you're on.
Hello, Mr. Shartok.
You can call me Alan. Go ahead.
Okay, Alan, I understand you're a college professor. I hope you can answer this question. I've asked a lot of people.
Uh-oh, here comes the sucker punch.
Okay, can any president arbitrarily declare martial law without congressional approval?
Can any president arbitrarily declare martial law without congressional approval? I don't think so. I don't think so, but maybe I'm wrong. Okay, but that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about pay raises. All right? Goodbye. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Ken?
Well, let's talk more about this constitutional amendment that just passed the legislature the first time this year, and then it's going to pass. It's expected to pass again next year before going to the voters. It was written in such a way to only take effect with prospective offenses, so crimes committed after it's enacted. Previously, the legislature had passed a measure saying that anybody who commits a crime after or anybody who joins the pension system 2011 or later would have their pension forfeited. This is back-looking, so it is for existing pension members, but it would only be for things after the fact. The original proposal was knocked because people said, oh, it's an ex post facto measure. But if you go back 200 years in constitutional law, the Supreme Court has consistently held that the ex post facto clause of the Constitution applies separately from civil matters as it does from criminal matters. And people talk about losing your pension as a criminal penalty, and it's not. It's a civil action. So it would be held to a completely different standard. So the point is, the state legislature could have passed a much more stringent pension forfeiture amendment. They chose not to.
Okay, I want to do one more piece of work here, and that is I looked up on my Google state legislative salaries, and here we go. I think Ken turns out to be right, which California, 100,113, 14,774 more per year than the next highest paid lawmakers in Pennsylvania,
he's right,
which is 85,339 a year. And Texas earns the lowest yearly salary at $7,200 per year.
No, New Hampshire's is lower than that.
No, New Hampshire, they don't get paid.
Right.
No, they get paid.
Per year. New Hampshire legislators are paid $200 per two-year term. Legislators in New Mexico are the only ones to make no salary, although they do earn $163 a day in per diem. So That's the skinny of the whole thing.
But you've got to look at how long they stay in session, too. Many legislators are in session only every other year, and some are in session for a very short period of time.
I think Texas.
Yeah, okay. Texas is every other year.
Let's see here. I have to look at this thing to understand what's going on. Okay, we'll go to Marna in Poughkeepsie. Marna in Poughkeepsie, you're on.
Okay. I tuned in a little late. I hope I'm not off topic. When I tuned in, I heard someone say how they shouldn't take a cut in pay. Well, guess what? This is the second year in a row. Just yesterday, I got my Social Security statement for next year, and I'm taking a cut for the second year in a row. So they don't have to get an increase now.
You're in the Bronx cheer, right? You're not.
You got it.
You're not playing the violin.
You got it.
Okay. Well, thanks, Marna. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Right, yeah. And now we're going to go to Jason in Amsterdam. They all went down to Amsterdam. Okay, Jason, you're on.
Hey, Alan, I have a point here. I know that when we were talking about the new per-hour rates for workers in New York, you know, the minimum wage, they played around with it and gave upstate less and New York City more. So
that's correct.
I'm wondering why the Republican legislatures who are mainly from upstate New York aren't looking at doing that for themselves now. So would they like to earn less than their, you know, New York City or Westchester counterparts?
Well, to be fair, it costs a hell of a lot more to live in on the Upper West Side.
Right.
My God, a pastrami sandwich at Barney Greengrass is, you know, almost half your salary.
Yeah, but
I think that the legislature has really, they've agonized, if that's maybe not the wrong word to use when people talk about legislators, but that is an issue that they have dealt with for a long time, whether they could, state workers get more money if they live in the downstate areas. So they have thought about that. I don't think they've come to any conclusion because most legislators know that if it put to a vote in upstate New York, it would go down.
Jason, you wanted to say something?
Yes, Jason. No,
yeah, I just want to make the point, though, that the people who pushed it through with upstate getting less per hour with the new minimum wage are the Republicans in the legislature. And I'm sure that they will not be happy with earning less than their counterparts downstate now if we were to do the same thing for them. That's the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, if we're going to give them a raise, then shouldn't it be pursuant to what part of New York it is?
But when we pay state lawmakers, we're not paying them for being them. We're paying them to fill a constitutionally prescribed position. So,
yeah, but some of them don't live. The ones representing...
No, Jason, hold on a second. Let Ken finish. Go ahead, Ken.
In the eyes of the law, they are all doing the exact same job. So by all logical purposes, they should be paid exactly the same for that.
So then why are people who are working at a McDonald's in New York City earning more than the ones working in Albany if they're doing the exact same thing?
Well, you're making a point that it's inconsistent, but that's about the hobgoblins and all the rest of that, as you know. Okay, good point, Jason.
Yep.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Ken in Gilderland. Okay. Ken in Gilderland, you're on.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the call. I was going to make a comment that I think looking at a pay raise in isolation is almost like a science experiment where you're trying to separate out everything and only study one thing. And everything is so interconnected, and people want simple answers, yes or no for a pay raise or no, they don't deserve it. But I think it's more complicated than that. If you look at campaign finance reform and ethics, if you could work on those, I don't know that the pay raise would be as big an issue because you could work to get some of the real nasty, dirty stuff that happens.
Well, wait.
At least people would be penalized.
Okay,
you know,
but
take
Ken,
the pensions or
Ken, we started the program by saying that Governor Cuomo has made exactly your point. He's willing to give them the pay raise.
I don't agree with his approach.
What don't you like, that he's bribing them?
I couldn't quite hear that.
I said, what don't you like, that he appears to be bribing them? If you do this, I'll do this?
I'd call it actually more like extortion, but I think the approach is, again, we want good government, and then we have this heavy-handed approach trying to get... You know, I don't think the ends justify the means. So, but what I'm saying is, I think the pay raise issue
is really just part of a much bigger problem.
Ken, I think we all agree with you. Thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it. All right. Now we'll go to, let's see here, Glenn in his office. All right. Glenn in his office. Go ahead, Glenn.
Hi, Alan. Sorry, when they asked me that question, I wasn't quite sure what they meant, but I'm calling from Catskill.
Okay.
Here's a statement I'd like to make. We talked about their pay, but what about claiming for travel expenses? That's a lucrative operation. They do it in my county, the legislators. Every time there's some kind of, like they're giving $5 to some organization, they all run to that thing, get their picture taken, claim mileage. Rather than reimbursing them for their travel, let them deduct it on their tax return under Schedule A as an employee expense.
Okay.
It won't be so lucrative for them.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate your comment. We'll go to John in Saratoga. John in Saratoga, you're on.
Thank you very much, and good day to all of you. So my comment is I'm kind of okay with a pay raise. I think it should be equivalent to the work performed. I think our police officers and military members get paid way less, and, I mean, they get shot at all the time. So sitting in an office telling people, like, hey, we're going to make these laws, and then to comment on something earlier as I was sitting here thinking was I only meet my district representative at fundraisers when they're asking me for money. I don't see them out and about through my district attending different school functions or parades. So I don't know how somebody can say that they're always out and about or sitting in an office when I barely see them out here.
Okay, thank you for that. I'm trying to get everybody in. You guys don't mind, do you?
No.
Okay, Eli in Utica. Okay, Eli, make it short. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I called Senator Seward on the air, and I asked him why we didn't get any reforms in this past legislation. I'll see Lou Poland and others. And he hung up the phone on me. He went on to say that, gee, only 1% of the state legislatures had any problem with illegalities. 1%, bad math. And he went on to say they gave us this great law that, gee, there weren't going to be any more pensions for these guys when they committed crimes. Of course, that's after the fact. But I think until they do this, they don't deserve any pay raise. And, you know, I'd like to ask you a question. I've heard a lot of ideas about the campaign financing that these people amass. I was told that once they retire from office, they have this money to use at their own discretion. Is there any truth to this?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And a lot of them have, you know, vast pockets that they give out to other legislators or to other things. Barbara?
Senator Stafford has been dead for over 15 years, and his wife is still using campaign dollars because he ran unopposed, amassed a whole bunch of campaign chest, and still using it 15 years after his death. They may have run out now, but for many years she continued to use it for other candidates.
Thank you, Eli. Okay, we're going to go very, very, very quickly to David in Rensselaerville. David in Rensselaerville, what do you got? Bring it.
Well, I don't know. I just tuned in, so I don't know if anybody said this, but one, does everybody out there know that this is a part-time job?
Yeah,
and
we've
that
talked
most of
about
these
that.
Guys are lawyers
yeah.
that are amassing tons of money
not
in
most
their
of them
campaign.
Anymore.
I mean, in
not
their
most,
law firms and stuff?
David, not most of them anymore, but a lot of them are.
Yeah.
A lot
and
them,
if
yeah.
they're not lawyers, they're consultants.
Right.
And if they're not,
I just know a lot of people that are super qualified for these jobs that would do it for a lot less. And also, by the way, you know, everyone out there also knows that a lot of these people are on committees where they make
yeah,
even more than just
yeah,
the base
we've
pay.
Talked about all of that. Thank right. you very much for calling.
Right.
Appreciate
yep,
it. Right.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's see. We only have a minute here. So let's go to Doug in Albany. Okay, Doug in Albany, real quickly. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing? I don't want to give the misimpression, but their offices work full-time. Their staff does most of the work. So I don't see what difference it makes that they're in the office more or they're on the job more. So
we have
full-time representation. They have full-time staff. And most people feel the more time they spend probably on the job themselves, the worse we're going to be.
Well, as Arlo said, Arlo said when Reagan was accused of sleeping through one of their major things, I like it when they sleep. Thanks an awful lot. Appreciate your call.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're out of time, basically. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I am. We are. And I want to thank everybody who got left on the line, including Kate from Oneonta. I want to thank Barbara Bartoletti, Legislative Director of the New York State League of Women Voters, Ken Girardin, a Communications Manager of the Empire's Center for Public Policy, for joining us today. You were both great. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Gazebo, Northampton, Massachusetts, an independent lingerie shop specializing in bra and post-mastectomy fittings, providing support to the Pioneer Valley for almost 40 years, the-gazebo.com, Union Gables Mansion Inn, Saratoga Springs, providing hotel amenities in a historic bed and breakfast setting with a heated pool, wraparound porches, and private balconies, UnionGables.com. And Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine Exams Eye Care, Dry Eye Therapy, and new American-made frames, where eyewear is an art. VisionExcelEyeCare.com. The Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, weddings, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings, henyonbakery.com. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been the incomparable Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Susie Chekai. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.